Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, it's really amazing how God's word is so live and active in our lives. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but you can take the same text and read it every day and something different will grab you. Something will just pop out at you you've never seen before. And so after 15 years of doing this thing of ministry and going through these cycles of what we call the liturgical year and our readings and all of these things, this time in studying Isaiah chapter 49, something grabbed me that never really struck out at me before. And I kind of excited about it and wanted to share it with you today because it really does talk about our lives. It really does have an impact on how we live in this world. And so in our text in Isaiah today, there's a great dialogue that Isaiah is having with God, or should I say God is having with Isaiah. And I want to look at that a little closer in chapter 49. So let's look at that real quick again. Here we go. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. How powerful is that? Here we have God saying, listen, before you were even born in the womb, I formed you. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me come into a polished arrow and concealed me with his quiver. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit. But see, God made him polished. He made him sharpened. This is the process of sanctification. We'll talk about this in a little bit in our text. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent all my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is the Lord, is my Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed you in the womb to be his servant, going back to the womb again, announcing to Isaiah, listen, this is why I know you, this is why I formed you, to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back the house of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, to him who has despised and abhorred the nation, to the servant rulers, kings will see you and stand up, princes will see you and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. What a powerful text today, and within this text we see two major themes colliding. The first theme is sanctification. The second theme is purpose. Sanctification, for those of you who have been in my classes before, you know that sanctification is something that begins the moment we're baptized or the moment we come to faith. It's that Lord, like Isaiah said, sharpening us, making us into a polished sword with a nice tip, you know, making us a beautiful weapon or a beautiful messenger of God, proclaiming the word. That's sanctification. It's the experiences we go through in life that help us to mold and make us into whom God wants us to be. Sanctification, my friends, is a process. Justification happens one time. Justification is the fact that we are saved. Justification is the fact that we are made right. We are made holy. We stand before God as just and right. That happens the moment we come to faith in baptism. But sanctification is a process. It's the process of becoming holy. The process of becoming holy. Does anybody know what the word holy means? Those of you who have been in my classes should know. Anybody simply know? Holy means what? To be set apart. That's all holy means. So the question is, and the question comes down to, is sanctification is the process of becoming holy or the process of becoming set apart? What is it we are being set apart for? Why is God setting us apart? Why is God interacting and dialoguing with Isaiah today in the text saying, listen, I am the one who knew you in the womb, the one who is making you into this sharpened arrow, this sharpened sword. I am the one who's interacting in your life. I am the one who made you a servant while you were yet in the womb. Why is God doing this sanctification? Why is he setting us apart? And the answer for that comes into the second part of our lesson for today, and that is for God's purpose. He sets us apart for his purpose, for his plan, for his work, because that is what God is all about. You see, the reality is, let me show you my story. When I was a little boy, At 4 years old, I was baptized. My parents waited till I was 4 years old because I learned some not nice words from my mother, and they were certainly afraid that when the pastor put water on my head, I would cuss him out. And so they thought they would wait until I was old enough to know not to cuss the pastor out, or at least they thought so, when he put water on my head. But they knew that little Travis would blurt something out during this baptism, you know, so who knows what he's going to say. So the day I was baptized, I was 4 years old. My sister was just a little baby, about 6 months old. I remember the day quite well. Actually, it's one of my early memories. And I remember the pastor baptizing my baby sister first, and I was jealous because I wanted to go first, and I was getting a little angry, and then it became my turn. And I remember stepping up on the stool, and I remember the pastor baptizing me, and I remember getting down off the stool, and I remember looking at the pastor and saying, not a cuss word, someday I'm going to be a pastor just like you. And of course, everyone went, aw, isn't that cute? So every Sunday after church, I would tell the pastor, someday I'm going to be a pastor just like you. Someday I'm going to be a pastor just like you. And one day, I was probably about four still, the pastor asked me when we were leaving, well, Travis, why do you want to be a pastor? And I said, so I can have a big white limousine with gold hubcaps. You see, that was my purpose in being a pastor. I would be famous because everybody would be watching me, and I'd be rich, and I'd have this big white limousine with gold hubcaps. Unfortunately, my name isn't Joel Olstein, so that didn't happen. But the reality of what I realized as I went through my journey into the pastorate is I started feeling void. Here I went through college, and I went through seminary, and I went through the rigmarole. I went through all the steps and followed the motto of the seminary, cooperate and graduate, and I did everything I was supposed to do. But I still felt like there was something missing. Nothing ever felt quite right. You know, I started off as a missionary to the inner cities of the inner city of Buffalo, New York, and it was really great, and I loved it. But still, something was missing because I never really got it quite right because I was missing that purpose. How many times does that happen in our lives? I know people who are so successful, and they're successful at their jobs, whether they're a teacher or a janitor. And by the way, Martin Luther once was asked, what's the most important position in the church? And he said the janitor, as long as he's fulfilling his God-given purpose, which we're going to talk about. I know people who are bankers, who are lawyers, and they're so successful in their field. They have all their money, and by looking at them, they're so successful, but inside they still feel that there's something missing. They have to achieve more. They have to go farther. There's something they're not doing. What is it? What am I doing? What's not right? Why am I not happy? That's the other thing the world looks for, happiness all the time, and that's a sermon we can do for another day because God never promises us happiness. It's because until we realize the point of God's purpose, until we realize that all of us share the same purpose and plan, it's until we realize that our purpose, just like Isaiah's, is to serve God in serving others by sharing his love. It's until we come to that point, we are truly never satisfied in life. Just like Isaiah, our purpose is to be a servant of God in serving his love with others so that they may know him. Whether you're a lawyer or a teacher or a doctor, a janitor or a pastor. You see, my realization came as I was on the battlefield with my friend Kenyatta Cobb, who was an African-American, who was a Baptist pastor, and I made him a Lutheran pastor. That's a story for another time too. But we were on this battlefield, and he started showing me the gangs and the drug dealers and the prostitutes who didn't know Jesus. And all of a sudden, my heart started yearning for them because they were hurt and they were broken and they desperately needed to know that they were loved. And it's once that purpose, once God's purpose started coming into my life and I started wrapping my head around God's purpose and sanctification kept leading me into that purpose because that's what sanctification does. That's what this process of becoming holy does, being set apart to be God's witnesses. That is the point of sanctification. Once that sanctification came to light in my heart, I started realizing that fulfillment in my ministry didn't come from how many people were sitting in the pews, how much money the church was making, how successful I was, whether I was being invited to seminars and getting to lead seminars and doing all these things and doing coaching and doing all this fancy stuff. No, that had nothing to do with my purpose. My purpose was the fact was I sharing the love of Jesus with every person that came into that church and every person that walked past that church. Brothers and sisters, we share the same purpose. Our purpose in life is simple. As Isaiah was told by God, he formed you in the womb to be his servant. He formed you in the womb to be his servant. Whether your job is miserable, whether your job is awesome, whether you're retired, whether you're in school, whether you're in college, whether you're unemployed, our purpose at any given stage of life is simple. Is to share the very overwhelming love of God, that love which comes into our lives through the power of baptism, the love that comes into our lives by the power of a God who died on the cross for our sins, for our forgiveness, the love that comes forth from a tomb as Jesus rose from the dead into newness of life so that you and I may live eternally with him. Our purpose is to share his love. Period. End of sentence. Brothers and sisters, my prayer today is that not only can we in our individual lives really transform our lives around God's purpose, but we as a congregation may seek out that purpose for us as well. Because just as Isaiah and you and I have the purpose of sharing God's love with our community, so too do we as a congregation. In the coming year, we will spend more time focusing on how do we reach our neighbors? How do we reach the people that pass by this church every day and never even realize there's a church building here? How do we reach those who are hurting and broken, battered by Satan? The ones who think that no one loves them or no one cares for them. The ones who are raised in families where there's abuse and neglect. You know what I'm talking about. Together as God's people, not only as we seek his purpose for our life, the purpose for our congregation will become more evident as well. And the power of Christ Lutheran Church, which is God's power in us, will truly transform this neighborhood. It will truly transform the hearts and lives of people around us. We may never see its evidence in its growth here, but when we get to heaven, one day, somebody will tap you on your shoulder and they will say to you, "Thank you for sharing God's love with me. It's because you took time to love me that I'm here today." In the name of Jesus, amen.